Well, good morning again, and let me greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask that you would truly lift up the speaker of the hour, our brother, Elder Jeff Oldham, in your prayers, that the Lord would use him, that the Lord knows each of us, you know, His Holy Spirit sees within each of us and knows what we need. And so that's what we pray for, is the guidance of the Holy Spirit today. And for the Lord to open Jeff's mouth and his understanding and speak to us. And so with that, I give you my brother, Jeff Oldham.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. And I appreciate your, definitely appreciate an interest in your prayers and always would ask for an interest in your prayers. This morning, as we dialed in this morning, heard kind of the tail end of the Sunday school class and kind of interesting to hear some of the conversation and the comments around because I guess as we start off into the thoughts that I have had, I hope maybe this kind of dovetails in there a little bit. I want to start off, and I'd ask you to turn with me to Matthew, the fifth chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse. This is out of the sometimes or what's called the Beatitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the first verse that we read in the fifth chapter that are the words of Christ. And again, this is Matthew, the fifth chapter, and I'm just going to read the third verse here to start and want to try to pull our thoughts in a little bit. The verse is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, sometimes I look at these words, I look at this from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's interesting to me that this is the first, I guess, direction, or this is the first words of Christ here in this portion of the chapter, and there's many words that Christ speak and speaking of his blessing and his desire for those, and specifically here it's the desire for those that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, and sometimes we feel discouraged. I know that's true. I know that that happens to each of us. Sometimes we consider our efforts for the Lord, and I think we all probably feel at times that there is more that we can do, and maybe we have that sense of weakness. And I know that's true, and I know that's true for each of us, and I know that sometimes we feel that maybe our efforts or our good deeds or that there could be more that we could do. And our Lord speaks to us here, and he says, you know, truly, that is that blessed are the poor in spirit. For those of us that are struggling in our lives, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is that ultimately that calling to us is that of that desire not to give up, of that expectation not to give up. For if we continue to strive towards him, that the kingdom of heaven is ours and that we have that opportunity. Turn with me back one chapter. I'm going to go to Matthew, the fourth chapter. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to start at the 18th verse. And it starts off and it goes, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Right, so immediately we see that Christ is reaching out to two individuals. Here it's Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and two men who were just fishers, and Christ says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And it continues on in this chapter and it calls out to other individuals. And basically Christ bringing in those that are going to serve him and bringing in those that are going to serve the people. Kind of what brought this thought to me this week was, this week I was at a convention for work, or a series of meetings for work, and for myself, I had multiple presentations that I had to get ready for, and so I probably wasn't putting a lot of time and thought into just generally what the meeting was about, but probably more focused on my own presentations that I had to prepare for. And so I find that whether it's my natural procrastination or whether it's just the way that I prepare for things, I tend to put everything I have into getting ready for a presentation or getting ready for a meeting that I have, and I have to put other things on the back burner, or I have to put other responsibilities for work on the back burner until I can get through this one given challenge. So this last week, I put a lot of time and energy into getting ready for my presentations that I had, multiple different presentations. And I got there, and I went into the meeting and got going, and after I was kind of early on in the agenda and had multiple responsibilities there, and I'd gotten done with my responsibility. And I went through, and it's for me that kind of sense of able to take a deep breath and, all right, now I'm ready for that next task, or now I'm ready for the next responsibility. And a lot of times what I find is in my own self in that preparation is that I kind of zone things out. Well, while there, we had the opportunity to have a guest speaker come speak to us, and this guy is an author of multiple different books. And kind of the way the book starts off with is that it kind of talks about servant leadership. And the thing that I see within servant leadership and kind of the memory for me of servant leadership is a class that our brother Bob Hedrick and I had the opportunity to teach while at camp. And it's for young men and trying to reach out and challenge young men in their service to the Lord, their service to their families, as they take on more responsibilities in life, their service to those around them. And what I found was, as I kind of sat back and started thinking about the servant leadership, I thought a lot about Christ. And in my own self, I know that I put so much time and energy into getting ready for something. But that calling and that expectation is that in all that we do, that we are prepared, that we are ready, that it doesn't take or that it shouldn't take that time and that focus and that kind of blocking everything else out until we're ready. And it should be that calling. And the Lord calls out to us and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, that poor in spirit, that simple heart, that simple mind that says, when the Lord calls, like the Lord called out to Simon, called Peter and Andrew, his brother, they were fishers and they were doing their job and they were doing their responsibility. And the Lord said, I'm calling you and I'm bringing you in. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Right? It's not a matter of, hey, I was in this case, it's not a matter that Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, that were perfect speakers, that were perfect presenters, that were perfect at understanding what the Lord called them in their own selves, in their own right, in their own position in life, and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And that time when we're feeling challenged and we're feeling when we're feeling discouraged, know that what we are doing, or know that what the Lord expects of us, is that we are the simple people that we come in our own selves, and that we follow him and we become fishers of men. Turn with me to Jeremiah, and I'm going to go to Jeremiah, the first chapter. And to me, this I'm going to read a couple of verses here. I want to start at the fourth verse. So I'm at Jeremiah, the first chapter, and I'm going to start at the fourth verse. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, and so this right away, you know, the many thoughts in our minds and many thoughts that we have on this, you know, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Right? The Lord is calling to us, telling us, is that I knew thee from the very beginning. I knew thee. I was a part of your creation. And I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So this reinforcement, I guess, and this calling out is that, you know, it doesn't take the person that is a wonderful speaker. You know, it was interesting after we heard this guest speaker for our meeting. We had a group of about 150 people there, afterwards we had multiple different meetings, multiple different discussions, and it was a couple days long. And I remember multiple times throughout kind of our breaks and through dinners and different conversations, you know, multiple people talked about, you know, this guy, he got up and man, what a great speaker. You know, he's one of these guys that he gets up and just the way he changes his voice, just the way he talks, you know, people look at him and say, there's no wonder that he's an individual who goes out and does a lot of guest speaking for people, right? He's one of those dynamic speakers. And that naturally people listen to him, right? He tells stories and people automatically draw to those. But, it's not that the Lord is looking for that person or looking for those type of people. The Lord is looking for each of us in our own ways, in our own lives, each of us as we are today. The Lord is calling to us and he says, say not, I am a child. Right? Say not that I'm not worthy, I'm not able, I'm not good enough at doing something. Because the Lord looks at each of our own talents and looks at each of us individually. And he goes on to say, Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words into thy mouth. Right? There is no other strength that we can carry but that strength of the Lord. So in those times that we're feeling discouraged, in those times when we feel like our efforts are not worthy or we feel like that we're not worthy, that calling that the Lord has for us, even right here in these verses, the calling says the Lord reaches out to us. I remember the testimony of our brother Mike, and I remember a testimony that he gave, and it wasn't that long ago, but in this testimony he shared about an individual that he met at a gas station and started speaking to. Right? In that testimony, I could envision seeing our brother Mike filling up his tank with gas. And I can see him and the opportunity to start to reach out and talk to someone else. You know, I find myself, and Michelle tells me sometimes that I'm kind of rude when I'm traveling, you know, and it's when I'm going through an airport, I tend to look to point A to point B and don't look around a lot. I'm one of those typical travelers that I want to get on the plane first for some reason. I want to make sure my bag gets in there. You know, and all of these things, and it just kind of hit me to think about, you know, here our brother Mike is filling up for gas, and he meets this individual and starts out this conversation. And I myself, I know that I'm not looking, or I don't typically look for those opportunities in my life. But the Lord calls out to us here, and he says, it's not a matter of if you can, right? It's a matter of that you will. That the Lord reaches out to us, and he expects of us to be those fishers of men, that he expects us to be those ones that are looking for those opportunities, continually looking for those opportunities. You don't have to be a great speaker to look for those opportunities. You have to be an individual who is looking for the opportunity for the Lord. And so that ability and that understanding and that appreciation for the Lord willing to put the words into our mouth, but we have to be willing to accept it, right? We have to be willing to take that step. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I'm gonna read from a couple chapters in Corinthians. I'm going to start in the 15th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 5th verse. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Right, so the calling out here and as Paul speaks to us here, you know, he talks about, but by the grace of God I am what I am. Right? So what does that really mean? By the grace of God I am what I am. I think about that I am what I am, and so those are three or four words. I am what I am. Five words, sorry. My math is a little off. But five very simple words, right? I am what I am, right? The myself in my own humanness, myself in my own weakness, you know, myself as the way I am. In each of us have individual different talents. And that's what makes us great, and that's what makes us different. And great about our difference is, but that ability that the Lord has to call on us, to touch our mouths, to open up our hearts and to open up our minds, you know, as in the prayer and in the comments from our brother Jerry, is that I'm not one who is I have a horrible memory. I don't remember things. For me, I'm horrible about quoting scripture because I don't remember them like others. And I hear others that have that ability and have that talent to have that memory, to have that understanding. And for me, I've got to go and dig, and I've got to find it in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, right? But I am what I am. But I know that I can be so much more through the grace of God, right? In those times that I feel discouraged, or in those times when I feel like my efforts are not up to the standards of our Lord, or not up to the expectation of the Lord, it is my responsibility to kneel down and to reach out to the Lord, to ask the Lord for that forgiveness, to ask the Lord for that guidance, to ask the Lord for that direction. I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And my prayer ultimately is that the grace of the Lord is upon each of us, that we are looking to the Lord and that we are holding up to the Lord with that expectation that we can be of service, that we can be, that we can remove that sense of weakness and that we can move into that sense of strength. Turn with me to the 12th chapter of the 1 Corinthians. I'm gonna read a few verses here, and I'm going to start at the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And again, I'm in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'm starting at the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one, the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, It is therefore not of the body. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And it continues on, but you go back and you think about this, and to me this is profound. To me this is simple, but it is very profound. Right? It is that reinforcement. It is that I guess that remembrance for us is that we each have those talents. Right? You go back to, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Right? There are a few words, or there is a word in multiple of those verses that keep coming up, and that is the word Spirit. Right? It is that foundation that we have is that as we look at ourselves, as we look at ourselves individually, we know that there are great weaknesses. Right? I know that in myself there are many weaknesses. But that ability to strengthen and draw on upon our brothers and sisters is that great strength that we have. And you know, I think about this phone church that we have, and I think about this opportunity that we have I know I won't quote it exactly, but I know our brother Jerry in his testimony of the starting and getting involved with this phone church is that desire to reach out and draw in upon others. And so here we are. We're a bunch of individuals that at some point, some way, somehow, we were drawn towards calling in. Right? Now, for many of us, our brother Jerry, as an individual, reached out to us and encouraged us and gave us the number and gave us the contact info. Some of us through other ways. But there was a decision that we made in our mind, and there was a decision that we made in our heart that we wanted to reach out and do this. And so you think about this phone line, and there's multiple phones that can call into this line, and it is the strength of many now that are here. Each of us here, that we can draw on each other, that we can, like last week, that we can offer up a prayer, that we can offer up a testimony, that we can offer up a sharing of a gift or of a burden on our heart. Today, we have an opportunity. We've each dialed in that we're together here today. And so together, we're building upon that strength of ourselves individually, but drawing upon the strength of our Heavenly Father and drawing upon that same Spirit. Right, we can all be different individuals. Some of us have brown hair, some of us have blue eyes, some of us have brown eyes, some of us have green. All of us are our own individual, but all focused on that one centralized theme, and that is our Heavenly Father. Right, that is that drawing upon that strength. That is that renewing of our strength and building that strength back up. And in that each of us as members, each of us as individual members, building up and making that stronger connection and making that stronger link to our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to 2 Nephi, and I'm going to go to page 83 in the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi, the first chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 76. So again, I'm on page 83 of my Book of Mormon, and I'm going to start on verse 76. I'm going to go through several verses here. Wherefore, he is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch as he shall make an intercession for all the children of men. And they that believe in him shall be saved. And because of the intercession for all men come unto God. Wherefore, they stand in the presence of him to be judged of him according to the truth and holiness which is in him. Wherefore, the ends of the law which the Holy One hath given unto the inflicting of the punishment which is affixed, which punishment that is affixed in it is in opposition to that of the happiness which is affixed to answer the ends of the atonement. for it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. If not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness could not be brought to pass, neither wickedness, neither holiness, neither misery, nor misery, neither good nor bad. Wherefore, all things must needs be a compound in one. Wherefore, if it should be one body, it must needs remain as dead, having no life, neither death nor corruption, nor incorruption, happiness nor misery, neither sense nor insensibility. Wherefore, it must needs have been created for a thing of not. Right, so each of us have been created for a purpose. Each of us have been created in the Lord's expectation. And the Lord's challenge to us is that we do utilize those talents. We do utilize those skills and those that strength that we have. But we know that there is opposition in all things. We know that there is an opposition in all things, and we know that there are going to be challenges, and we know that there are going to be barriers that get in our way. But remember, you know, when we get discouraged, when we get down, wherefore it must needs have been created for a thing of not. Right? We have been created for a purpose. There is a reason that we are here. Wherefore there would have been no purpose in the end of its creation. Wherefore this thing must needs destroy the wisdom of God and his eternal purpose, and also the power and the mercy and the justice of God. And if you shall say there is no law, you shall also say there is no sin. And if you shall say there is no sin, you shall also say there is no righteousness. And if there be no righteousness, there is no happiness. And if there be no righteousness nor happiness, there be no punishment nor misery. And if these things are not, there is no God. And if there is no God, we are not, neither the earth, for there could have been no creation of things, neither to act nor to be acted upon. Wherefore all things must have vanished away. Right, so in our own weakness, God will use us as we are. God will draw on us. We look at this and we know that there is a God. We know that there is a Christ. We know that there is a greater power that we can draw upon. Continue on at the 94th verse. And now, my sons, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both in heaven, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purpose in the end of man. After that, he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created. It must needs be that there was an opposition, even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by one or the other. And so, again, I think the verse that I guess really stands out here is that, you know, to me, understanding that there is opposition, understanding that there is challenges that we're going to have, but also understanding that for those challenges also is the ability for us to turn to the Lord. Also is the ability for us to turn to our brothers and sisters whom we need the most in those times of challenges, in those times of frustration, in those times of stumbling. Wherefore the Lord gave unto man that he should act for himself. Right? So it takes that step. It takes that letting our fingers doing the walking and dialing on the phone and calling up our brothers and sisters when we face some of those biggest challenges in our lives. It takes us kneeling down. It takes us making that decision that we are going to cry out unto the Lord. We're told that we can lay our burdens at his feet. And how thankful we are that we have that opportunity to lay our burdens at our Father's feet. It takes a step. It takes a responsibility for each of us. It takes that action by each of us. Turn with me to Luke, the 11th chapter. And just a couple of verses here. In Luke, the 11th chapter, and I'm just going to read two verses here. Luke 11, verse 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Right? That's important. Think about that. Think about, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Right? Is the Lord telling us that, okay, maybe some of you, if you ask, I might give it to you. Right? The Lord isn't saying that okay, so let's see, Jerry, you've been kind of grumpy this week, and so if Cindy asks, then maybe we'll go ahead and grant that. But Jerry, you know, I don't know. Right? It doesn't say that. It's not a partial, but it's a whole, and it says, for everyone that asketh, receive. But what do we have to do? It takes a responsibility of us. Like I said before, it takes us to kneel down, right? It takes us to reach out to our brothers and sisters that are here for each of us, right? Just because we're separated for miles, we have the access to technology, right? We have the access to pick up the phone. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But it takes an action, right? It takes a responsibility. It takes a calling by each of us. And then it continues on. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Right? We could close our books and we could end the service right here and we could say, you know, to me, that's complete. To me, that's really simple. In my very simple mind, I get that. I understand that. But the key part here is that it takes that responsibility of us. Turn with me to 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter. And in my Book of Mormon, that's on page 669. And again, that's 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter. I'm just going to read the 20th through 23rd verse. And at the 20th verse there, it says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." And you know, you see on the news, there's big wildfires that are in Arizona right now, and surely you've seen a field or a yard or grass that's been burnt down. Over in an area that I travel to every once in a while, over in the western part of Iowa, there's the Missouri River Valley. And up along the Missouri River, when you're traveling on I-29, if you were to go south from Omaha down towards Kansas City, it's just a huge valley. And you can see the sides of the valley from driving down I-29. And there was an area, somebody had built a new house up on the bluffs. And all around that area, they did a controlled burn. And you could see when they did it, you know, the whole hill was just black. And today you drive by there and it's a lush green, it's a beautiful green, right? And you know, like here, and you've seen that, you know, you've heard of that. But what it says here is, and this is different, right? When we read here in these verses, this is different. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble," right? It's not a matter of that growth. Right, but it is that matter of and that calling that we have and that understanding that we have here is that all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Right, it's truly that challenge to us and that understanding to us is that if we're not good, right, if we're not seeking and knocking, that there shall come that time and that shall neither leave neither root nor branch. Right, there's nothing left. It's truly that taking away, and that challenge to us is that we are not letting ourselves fall down that path. Turn with me to Luke, and I'm going to close with Luke the 12th chapter. And back in Luke the 12th chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse here in closing. And that previous verse I read is that we know. We know the consequences, right? We know when we're not seeking, when we're not searching, when we're not striving, and when we're not reaching out to our Heavenly Father. And there is a clear difference there when we're sinning and doing those things that we're taught not to. But ultimately, in the 12th chapter, in the 32nd verse, and I like this, and to me, this kind of ends on a good note, is that fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Right? It is truly that comfort that we have, and truly that knowing, or that reality that we have, is that fear not, right? And know that the Lord's pleasure is to give us the kingdom, is to give us that eternal life, is to give us that strength that we can draw on, that we can stand on, and strength to know that our Heavenly Father is there with us, and to know that our brothers and sisters are there for us, and to know that the strength of many is there to help us individually. And so my hope is for each of us is that we continue to strive towards that we tend to continue to strive towards strive towards that perfection, and strive towards that knowledge and knowing that our own selves and our own ways, our own weaknesses, our own lack of talents, is that there are many that have the great talents. There are many that each of us individually have a talent, but it takes the strength of the entire whole to make us much better. And so my hope and my prayer is for each of us that we continue to draw upon the Lord, and that we continue to strengthen each other. Thank you.